world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
All right, bear with me there a second. Hey, Spencer, I'm sending you a pic right now, sending it to you. It doesn't have a title or anything on it. It's just come and stand alone. And throw that thing up. And when I emailed it. Morning, folks. Hey, 4/27/2026. The Lord's not making another one. Thanks for joining us, man. I'm just telling you, there's so much going on around us. There's so much good going on around us. There's so much wickedness going on around us, but there is so much good. I got to throw this picture up there. That's a great awakening. If you're looking at that, the picture's a little bit fuzzy, but I couldn't resist. I got up in the front of the theater on Saturday. Michelle and I went to see the Great Awakening, and I got up in front of the theater and I took a picture of the crowd. And you can see it's Michelle and the guy holding the camera. We were the only two there at that. I was going to take my grandchildren. In fact, I'm offering to pay the way for people to go see it. But folks, listen. Two things. Number one, it is really, 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 really good. I had tears running down my face. I can't even tell you how many times. I'm telling you. And number two, we got to support it, man. If we want more movies like this, we've got to support it. We've got to support it. It's called The Great Awakening. Biggest thing, talk about awakening, $10 for popcorn. That was The Great Awakening from my standpoint, $10 for popcorn. They said, well, you can get a refill. Refill? What? Anyway. And This was really, I'd never heard it in a movie, in a what they would call a secular movie like this. I'd never heard it. They talked about Jonathan Edwards, not Jonathan Edwards, help me out, my brain. Anyway, they went in and they talked to the guys, the elected officials, about being born again.
George Whitfield.
Yeah, say it again, Mary Beth.
George Whitfield,
born again. Tell them they had to be born again. Born again. All these puffy, stuffy elected officials in early America got to be born again. I couldn't believe they showed that in an American movie theater, telling Christians that you had to be born again. It was really. Folks, go see it. You will not regret it. Go see it. And pay somebody else to go see it. Because if we don't understand, where we came from, we're not going to understand where we're going. And we can get caught up into all the theology we want to, end time theology, blah, 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 blah. The Bible says, occupy till I come. The Bible, somewhere in that Bible, talks about in the last days, God's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters are going to prophesy, old men going to dream dreams, and old men, young men going to see visions. So in other words, if I read it properly, the greatest revival the world has ever seen is in front of us. It's not behind us, folks. I'm just telling you. You can take all that end time, Israel, rapture, all that stuff, and put it on the shelf. Because the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, I think, is beyond what we is. It's happening right now. So let me back up again. Go see it. You say, Coach, well, what is it? Well, it's the founding fathers, Ben Franklin and George Washington. And they're arguing about the direction of America and where America is going to go. And it shows Whitfield comes in and preaches the gospel of the kingdom to Ben Franklin, who was, for the most part, a deist. You know, he wasn't anti-religion, but he didn't believe. He didn't believe. And what, man, oh, man, it was powerful, powerful. The stuff coming, the Bible being quoted. If you haven't seen it, go see it. I'm just going to tell you. Now, let me back up a second. Don't take like 6, 7, 8-year-olds. We didn't take all of our, I thought about taking all of our grandkids, but it would go over their head. It would go over their head, the significance of it. So I would say teenage and above, it's really good. Really good. Go see it. Well, go see it. So just, Glenn, go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, you know, after I saw that movie, the history knucklehead that I am, I started researching what the result was of George Whitefield's preaching. And, you know, there were pastors that started riding by horseback into the interior part of, like, Pennsylvania. And they started house churches in cabins, you know, where maybe 10 people would gather. And sometimes there were 30 miles between cabins. And so these house churches sprung up. And I can't help but think of the influence that George Whitefield had on the pastors that became the Black Robe Regiment,
right,
prior to the Revolutionary War.
Yep.
We'll never know, but I can't help but think that he had a big impact on those future pastors.
Here's what I wondered as I watched it. I wonder how many men became, I don't want to use the term pastors. Well, I could do a teaching on that. I get a teaching on that. How many men started home fellowships, call them pastors, because of what were they talking about? The cold, dead church at that time. And Whitefield preaching to them, come on, man. Come on, church. Come on, church. And the revivals that came out of that. And they did not, folks, just like today, the revival in America is outside the establishment church. It's not going on in the church. It's not going, I'm telling you, it's not going on in the church. We have been here before. And it was, wow. The crowds that you just got to go see it. Just street preaching. Whitefield, just street preaching, declaring the truth of the gospel of the kingdom of God, using the name of Jesus Christ and born again, and him witnessing to Ben Franklin and the old stomp. Go see it. It's really, really good. Recommend it. Oh, man. I'm looking up here. What made my notes here? Okay, there I found it. Look, hey, good folks. We had a great house to house. Faith and Carl Kennedy opened up their house for us this weekend. And I'm going to tell you something. I have more friends that I actually know in that house to house than in any church I ever went to. Look, I'm just telling you the truth. How many of you have been going to church with people that you tap your hat to them when you see them, but you don't know anything about them? You know anything about their family? You don't even know their name. You go, they sit in the same pew every Sunday, and you sit in the same pew every Sunday. But you don't really know them. Don't really know them. And that's what this house to house is. It's critical. It's really, really all about. And it was cool because Carl, as far as I know, Carl's probably listening out there. I don't know. Carl ain't no trained theologian, I don't think. And he talked about, different names for God, who it is, and is he really Jesus? And it was good. It was good. And it was good because it's stuff that I probably would never have thought about if I'd gone to church for 60 years. And relationships and eating food and I'm just encouraging, man. We got to do more of it. Folks, you got to start doing that. I don't know how to help you do it. I don't know how. Bible says in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. If you are a lone wolf out there, you got to find some folks, man. You got to find some folks. Open your house and invite them to come to your house. And just if you can't do anything else, play a video. Find a YouTube video and play the video and then just discuss the video. And don't argue about theology. Don't get into all that stuff, but get to know your brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm convinced that's the only way you can do it. Doesn't happen in big churches. Mel came. Come on, Mel. What do you got to say?
Yeah, I'm loving it so much. What I want to do at the Liberty Action Network is to support anybody who is starting a house church, and I can help promote it on the Liberty Action Network. Under the resources tab, I don't know, Spencer, if you want to go there, but under the resources tab at the top, I've kind of started just sort of an area where I'm recommending a book, The Ancient Paths for Modern Gates. That's a really nice resource and blueprint for house churches. And so we're kind of slowly working our way through that. But then down below, my vision is that we would have different states maybe and have somebody who kind of heads up, you know, a house church for that state. But if you have a specific one, like I know that Adam Jones has a house church in Pennsylvania. So for right now, he's my Pennsylvania guy. But I would love to see, you know, a house church network really grow out of this ministry and the Liberty Action Network. Like, that's really my heart. I would love to see that. I don't think that we're going to change the big churches. Like, they're very set in their ways. But I think this is where we can really make an impact. And you know, like George Whitfield did, and like the first church in Acts did, that's the house church really is the template that's biblical. So any way that I can help, I'd love to help. Thanks.
Mel, we didn't argue about theology, any of that kind of stuff. Carl just kind of laid out some stuff of what the names is it. Jesus, is it Jesus? Is that Yahuwah? What's really his name? And I mean, it was good. It's good. But anyway, even more than that, the fellowship, getting to know each other. And here's part of the, I don't know what to do about this because we're so spread out everywhere. But we would love to do whatever we could do to help you get a church going. Now, I've had some people say, "Well, Coach, can you send us your email list?" And we can, but we got a bunch of emails. And I don't know, Jared, if we have them state by state, I don't know. Just let me encourage you that there's real growth that happens in that situation. Anybody, before I move on here, anybody? Good. I mean, not good. Not good to anybody. Again, folks, I watched that video of what they did to Paul Gosselin, and it filled me with rage. It filled me with rage. To think that the government can connive like that. In the end, you got to realize everybody's out to cover their own ass. Right, Paul? At the end of the day, everybody's out to cover their own ass. And so you get six guys working together. They're going to concoct a story, and they're all going to agree to it. And then there's Paul Gosselin with the truth and these other six or seven guys who are lying. They're lying to try to cover. But the good news is Paul's got video of what happened to him. It's amazing. Go ahead, Paul. Come on in.
Just quickly, you know, the cover-up's worse than a crime, especially in this case. But, I mean, there's three people in there that could be going to prison for this.
Should be going to prison.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. I'd love to get
Paul,
a judge.
Hey, Paul, can I say this? If they shot a black guy, they'd already be locked up.
Actually, what happened is a week and a half later, that same troop shot a black man in a car, killed him. He didn't have a gun, and it was an automatic lawsuit. So, I mean, if they have a history. It's a Masonic group. It's a Masonic group. They're all covering each other.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're in your corner, buddy. We're in your corner. Look, I got some good stuff. Bear with me a second, okay? I got to get David Arthur in here. Because David Arthur, how about this one, folks? David Arthur gets invited to come and speak to the Republican Party about transgenderism, yada, yada, yada. And when he gets there, they won't let him in. Drove halfway across the state to get there, invested his time and his effort and his money. Are you out there, Dave? What the hell happened, Dave?
Yeah, so it's a little bit different than that. So I was invited to speak at Republican committees, and the chair of the main Republican Party has been trying to stop that. And so I was elected as a delegate to represent the people of Hancock.
So you are a delegate to this.
I was a delegate. And when I get to the main state Republican convention, they tell me that my delegate credentials have been revoked and I was not welcome in the building. I had to leave the building. I was banned from the building. And that I was just not allowed to do any of their of the main Republican.
Because you're a registered sex offender. Is that
that was the excuse that he used. But you know what? It's not true, because he acted like he said, well, he just got tipped off. That's not true. He tried to, the chair of this Republican committee tried to stop me from speaking in a rally 3 years ago. He actually threatened the guy that was putting the rally together and said, I will ruin you if you have him speak.
So the Republican, the far right Republican Party in Maine doesn't want the truth out about transgenderism and what they're trying to do to our kids. Is that right,
David? Exactly. You know what, though, Coach? It was an eye-opener for a lot of people there, for a lot of people in that party. They were out in the parking lot. There were people in this. It was so moving. There were people in tears and praying over me because they wanted me in there so bad. There were victims of sex trafficking and sexual child sexual abuse that were outside saying, we need you in here. We came to talk to you. And you know, and so there it is. Now, I wasn't like a keynote speaker or a scheduled speaker at the convention, but having they not only stole my vote, but they stole the votes of all the people that I represented.
David, why wouldn't they want people to know the truth about transgenderism? Why wouldn't they want that?
For the same reason that that the Senate just passed that the bill that's going to fund all of the child gender affirming care and child puberty blockers, for the same reason, because it's all about money.
Same reason they won't end abortion, right?
It's all about money. It's the government is big pharma. Big pharma is the government, and that's what it's all about. It's all about money. And you know what? It's just I'm going to Augusta today to file small claims against them. And today and tomorrow I'm going to be compiling an email for all of the civil rights.
Yeah, how
you
about
know, organizations.
A lawsuit against them? That'd be good, right?
Well, I was told by an attorney that they violated my voter rights and my civil rights because they targeted me and it was malicious.
Shame on them.
Amen. Shame on them. Just want to make sure they don't do it to nobody else.
That's right. That's right. Unbelievable. Jeff Nell. Thanks, Dave. Come on in, Jeff Nell.
Thanks, Coach.
I got some good stuff. Hang with me. I got some good stuff for you. Hang on. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, you remind me. I was at the Republican committee. And two women came up to me. One of them spoke and said, keep your stuff inside of a building. You would not hear the word of God. Thank you.
Yeah, they don't want that. Well, I'll jump in that. Go ahead, Jack.
The same culprits. That's Jason Savage there, the executive director of the Maine GOP, is the one that was behind all that. He's the same one that shadow banned Mike Heath right through the Christian Civic League. Da 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 da. Amazing, huh?
Infiltration, right? Infiltration. 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 Hey, infiltration, folks. They infiltrate and they take over, which, by the way, is something I'm going to talk about here today. But hey, pull up Diane Ketterman's email, Spence. It's a standalone email sent to you. For those of you who might be interested, Diane Ketterman is having an online prayer service 4/28, which is tomorrow. I'll put this in the chat if you can for him. Reminder, you're invited to an online prayer and communion service Tuesday, April 28th. Links below. Diane Ketterman inviting you to come and be part of it, folks. Anybody out there that wants to join it, wants to be part of it, there you go. It's at, get my brain right here. It's 7:30 Eastern time tomorrow. The code and everything is there. You're welcome to join it. It'll be good. Okay. Amen. Anybody have any questions on that? Put it in the chat so they can get it. I'm doing some house cleaning over here. Did that. Okay. Now this is a big one coming up, friends. And maybe I'll talk after the show. Pull up Year of Celebration and Rededication. We're working on an event locally here at the President of the United States. It's number one, Spencer. Number one link. There we go. Have you guys seen this? Year of Celebration, Rededication from the President of the United States. Say what you want about the guy, right? He's making it legal to be Christian again. He's inviting the church in. The proclamation of the President of the United States, January 1st, 2026, United States began our year-long commemoration of an important milestone in our history, 250 years of American freedom and independence, which is why you need to go see the movie. Go see the movie, because it will lead you to the Christian foundation of what happened and the fight that went on to get God back into the government, even back then. Today and a half century ago, on July 4th, thousands of years of worth of wisdom, philosophy, and culture were brought together in Philadelphia. That's what the movie's about. Okay, as we celebrate 250 years since the signing of the Declaration of Independence, we acknowledge with gratitude and pride that 1776 represents the most seminal political event in all of human history. Think about that a second. The most seminal event in all of human history. A government under God. Under God. Unlike other nations, America's founding was rooted in the belief that every man, woman, child is endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This conviction enshrined our declaration, etched upon every American heart, and remains the bedrock of our country. For 250 years, flame of liberty is passed down, yada, yada, guided by the example of our founding fathers like George Washington, Adams, James Madison, Benjamin Franklin, American patriots, helped light the torch of liberty. Christian light of liberty. You got to go watch them. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Folks, if they take Christ out of government, there is no freedom. There is no freedom. And that's kind of the, God, I don't spoil the movie for you. That's what's going on at the end of the movie. This year, we honor and cherish the generations. Huh? How many generations of pioneers, warriors, statesmen, preachers, inventors, risk takers, workers, and heroes whose unwavering commitment to the promise of freedom gave rise to the greatest republic ever created. Today and throughout this year, I call on every American. This is the president. Yeah, I know he raped children. Yeah, I know he went to Epstein Island. Yeah, I know all that. Today and throughout the year, I call on every American to celebrate this triumph of the American spirit and to rededicate themselves to the sacred cause of liberty and justice for all. The Bible teaches, in all circumstances, give thanks. As such, it's fitting that we mark this special year as a unique occasion to celebrate our proud history, reflect on abundant blessings, and pray for our country and our people, and rededicate ourselves as one nation under God. Kind of reminds you of Obama, doesn't it? It's kind of like what Obama would do, I think, yeah? From the earliest days of our national story, reflection and thanksgiving have been central to our character, identity, and destiny. Just weeks before declaring independence, the Second Continental Congress ordered a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer, petitioning God to pardon all our manifold sins and transgressions and to establish the peace and freedom of America upon a solid and lasting foundation. Later, in the heart of the Revolutionary War, the Second Continental Congress declared it the indispensable duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God. And so in the sweltering summer of 1776, the promise of freedom moved our ancestors to break with a tyrannical empire, issuing the Declaration of Independence and going to overcome every hardship to establish a republic like no other. It's this unwavering spirit of courage, faith, and patriotism that propelled Paul Revere on his famous ride, that later inspired some of the world's greatest men to pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. It was this spirit that led George Washington to preserve it, to persevere Valley Forge, inspired Davy Crockett to make his last stand at Alamo, sustained settlers on the Oregon Trail, held the bloody ridges of Gettysburg, set slavery on path to worldwide extinction, roused a generation of young men to conquer tyranny and communism overseas, and carried out beautiful stars and stripes to the face of the moon. To this very day, it is the American spirit that lives in the hearts, minds, and souls of every patriot, inspires every new generation of American citizen to reach further and aim higher. Imagine Kamala doing this, Obama, Hillary. When the Second Continental Congress voted in favor of independence, General George Washington issued general orders to his army. In words that have echoed throughout history, he wrote, "The fate of unborn millions will now depend under God, on the courage and the conduct of this army. Let us therefore rely upon the goodness of the cause and the aid of the supreme being in whose hands victory is, and to animate and encourage us to great and noble actions. Today, too, we pray that our noble cause continues to be guided by the hand of providence and the grace of God, and that the fire of freedom will forever burn brightly in the heart of every American. Above all, this year we pray and endeavor that the triumph of the American spirit and the glorious truths expressed in our Declaration of Independence will shine more radiantly than ever before. Now, therefore, I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, do hereby proclaim 2026 as a year of celebration and rededication, I call on every American to reflect upon and celebrate the wisdom and deeds of the heroes of our founding who made the miracle of America possible. I call on parents to teach their children about America's inspiring history, heritage, and heroes, and invite the world to come to our shores to experience the splendor, warmth, and hospitality of America. And I encourage all Americans, including businesses, churches, families, and military, to observe this year, reflecting on the blessings our nation has received with appropriate programs, ceremonies, concerts, celebrations, and activities in their homes, schools, works, communities, military bases, and houses of worship. In witness thereof, I have heretofore set my hand on this 29th day of January, the year of our Lord, 2026, in the independence of the United States of America, the 250th anniversary. I think that's a boom. And the thing I keep saying over and over, I don't know where he is spiritually, but he ain't against us, friends. President is not against us, not against us. So we're working on one of the things we spoke about it this weekend at our house meeting was what plans for what we're going to do on this day. And that's still in flux. I'll talk to some more of you about it. All right. So knowing that, I got to throw some stuff into that I think are critically important. I'm going to talk for about 10, maybe 15, 10 minutes here. Bear with me. And then we'll open it up. Okay. I hate to tell you this. Here's what I think's going on. It's happening. Poll number four. Spencer. Go to the email that says, let me get it here. I'm sorry. Bear with me, folks. Decline in Anglo population. Okay. Anglo Saxon.
Later, coach.
What's that, Craig?
You want to do the Baltimore thing at the end, or how do you want to do that?
Well, let me do this. Let me do this, and I'll get you in, okay? Okay. I'm going to say what nobody else will say to you. What we're dealing with is and has been an assault on white Anglo-Saxon Protestants in America. Why would that be? Why would that be? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Who would want to destroy God-granted, God-given liberty in the United States of America? Well, that'd be Lucifer, wouldn't it? I came across the Southern Poverty Law Center started in 1971. And you know that they've been indicted. I'll get that up here for you. In 1975, 83% of the population was Christian, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. 83% in 1975. 2025, it's 59%. You swallowing this? 24% drop. Canada was 95% white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. Today it's 70, 25% drop. UK was 97%. Today it's 82, a 15% drop. Western Europe was 96%. Today it's 80, a 16%. Replaced by third world, all by design. And if you don't understand that the importing of the Somalians and the Muslims is designed to destroy Anglo-Saxon Protestantism. And the truth of the matter is, most of us are afraid to be proud of being a white Christian man. Would everybody agree with that? That's one thing that you're not allowed to be, is proud of being white Christian. Allowed to. That's racist, isn't it? So what do we find out? What's been going on behind the scenes? Pull up, if you can, for me, the whole thing about the Southern Poverty Law Center, number six. You guys have followed this, I assume, right? The Southern Poverty Law System indictment rewrites the history of the Trump era. For those of you who don't know, we have found out now that the Southern Poverty Law Center, boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? Huh? They've been getting billions and billions of dollars from communist, atheistic, left-wing causes to promote racism so they could act like they were defending against it. Folks, racism, for the most part, if the media stopped it, would go away. In fact, it's probably far more going away than what we understand. So here's what's happened. The Justice Department has indicted the Southern Poverty Law Center, huh? As you've heard, the Department of Justice has indicted the Southern Poverty Law Center for fraud, specifically for secretly paying leaders of the KKK and white supremacist groups with donor money so they could, folks, they funded the appearance of racism so they could raise more money. You get it? Hired protesters.
False flag.
False flag, hired protesters. Alarmingly, the indictment alleges that one of the SPLC's paid informants was a member of the leadership group that planned the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. You guys remember that in Charlottesville? That was funded by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Remember the famous rally saw neo-Nazis and Klansmen and militias coming together and all, they're all white supremacists. No. All funded by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Scrolling down, Spence. I don't know how many people are aware of this. They've been indicted. Folks, what you're seeing right there, according to the DOJ, the SPLC's informant took part in the planning and execution of this 21st century American politics. He attended at the organization's direction, helped coordinate, transport, and made racist postings under their supervision, and he was paid $270,000 to go stir up racism by the Southern Poverty Law Center, whose job is to stop racism. Well, since racism was dying, they had to drum it up so they could raise more money. And how many people, just curious out there, how many Americans out there voted for Barack Hussein Obama because they didn't want to appear racist? You get it? You get it? You get what's going on? And the truth is, scroll down a little bit. These guys, you can read it all. It's put in the chat. Put in the chat. They have been indicted by the federal government. Huh? Yep. They've been indicted. That's treason. It's treason. Something's happening here. Well, it ain't exactly clear. Craig, I'll get you in here. Hang on. Bring up number four. The attack in America, at least for most of my lifetime, by the Southern Poverty Law Center and what's the name of that other one? The American Civil Liberties Union has been an attack on Anglo-Saxon Protestants. It's okay for us to say that, folks. We're allowed to say that now. The whole assault has been on Anglo-Saxon Protestantism, which, again, when you go watch the movie, we'll connect the dots here of what's going on. Yeah, I know about racism, slavery. Yeah, I get all that. I get all that stuff. But the Anglo-Saxon, white, Christian men. White Christian men. Anglo-Saxon men founded America. They make all the claims. Look, this is so good. The term Anglo-Saxon carries a complex and often misunderstood history, especially within the United States. For many Americans, its precise meaning and implications are not immediately known. No, they just give us a word and we don't even know what the hell it means. They call us racist. We don't even know what it means. It's at its most basic term, Anglo-Saxon refers to Germanic peoples who inhabited Great Britain from the 5th century and eventually established several kingdoms that laid foundations for what would become England. Its etymology traces back to the combination of Angles and Saxons, two major tribal groups. And out of the Anglos, the Apostle Paul, Charles Jennings, our good friend Charles Jennings, can present evidence that the Apostle Paul took the gospel to England, to the Anglo-Saxons. We've been so freaking lied to. Okay, so knowing this, put this in the chat, read it on your own. Knowing this, that the battle has been from the very beginning, the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman, and that it was white Anglo-Saxon Protestants who brought the gospel to America. I'm going to say that again. White Anglo-Saxon Protestants. You say, but yeah, coach, and they came over here and they had slavery. Well, they corrected it too, didn't they? they corrected slavery as well, did they not? Are black people free in America today? Well, they would probably be more free if the damn Southern Poverty Law Center quit drumming up racism so they could raise money. We probably have a lot less. Okay, I'm kind of rattling on here, right? Where am I? Okay. I'm going to shift gears here. Divide and conquer. It's what's going on. It's what's been going on. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. The seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. And what we're seeing is the infiltration of the wicked one into our culture and our society through racism, through many different things, sexism, yada, yada, yada. It is not designed to make sure that we are, in fact, not one nation under God into the visible. You see the attack? You see the attack? Hyphenated Americans going on everywhere we look. Come on in, Jack.
Yeah, if we understand how it's supposed to work, the federal government's not allowed to keep records, documents on individuals unless there is probable cause and a warrant, all that stuff. So that's how these people spring up. And if you go back, everybody that all of us in this queue that have ever been really active and been attacked, the source is always Southern Poverty Law Center and the Fusion Centers, because they feed the FBI the information that they use to come after people. Look at what Stuart Rhodes, Southern Poverty Law Center.
Right.
Yeah, for 8 years, we got attacked when we were doing radio over Rusick Watchman. And man, oh man, every time they attacked us, what they were quoting, we'd go back and find the quotes in the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're so subversive.
So we're no longer ignorant of their devices and what's going on, friends. We're no longer ignorant. Unfortunately, we know that the media trumpets the party line, that party line. It's racist, 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 racist. Why? Divide and conquer. Now, what's a common term in America? The black church. The hell's a black church? The white church. What? It's all part of the linguistic gymnastics to keep us, what? A house divided against itself cannot stand. And what government wants to do is make sure that many in our nation, Christians in our nation, see government as the provider, not God as the provider. So therefore, government becomes God. And the whole idea of keeping Black America down has been the business of the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're the exact opposite of what they claim to be. Now, I want to connect a dot here, okay? Craig, I hope Craig's still out there. I know he's still out there. Where is it, Craig? We're in the midst of a crucible. I think he sent it to you, didn't he? We've been talking about the crucible. Craig Mickle sent you some stuff, Spencer. Go ahead and pull that up. And Craig, come on in, man. We want to connect some dots here. Introducing, how about this, folks? A satanic revival going on at the exact same time that we see this movie coming out, all the Great Awakening, a satanic revival happening. Go ahead, Craig.
Okay. So you guys might remember about SatanCon 2023 in Boston, and that a lot of Christians got together. We actually had some people come on a show, you know, local churches and everything. And it was widely publicized in the media. This is a kind of low level, keep under the radar thing. Okay. And this gentleman, Bill Schnoblin, will play a video here in a minute. Okay. Can you go down just back to the first one there? Scroll
hey,
down.
Craig, the Satanists are organized and working behind the scenes.
Okay. Yes. And what they do is they pick May 1 because it's Beltane Day, second highest occult holiday in the satanic calendar. Stephanie should be chirping in here. Can you scroll down just to show Spencer what they're okay? What they're Well, yeah, they're coming to Baltimore. Why are they picking Baltimore, Coach? Okay, do you know where Interstate 70 starts and goes to the West Coast?
Goes right by my house.
Right, that's called Baltimore. Okay, and you know when you take Baltimore and you stop at the T, remove it, and you add another A into B-A-A-L? Okay, now you're starting to get the thing here. It's called Charm City. So they have strategically placed this revival to start from the east to the west. And it's and we're going to watch this video for about a few minutes here. And you can only enter this venue if you have agreed or agree to sell your soul to Satan. Because what happened is in 2023, a lot of Christians got in actually into the venue and were praying using spiritual warfare. So what do? They amped this whole thing up and said, well, we know how to keep Christians out of here. You have to sell your soul to Satan. You won't do that. Because you know that you're given the devil legal rights. No Christian is going to do that. So anyways, let's play the tape and let's do that. Can you get to that Bill Schneblin video? Okay. It's about 3 minutes, Coach. That's all. But we need to watch it all.
Okay.
And that this is going to work against their agenda, which is basically to destroy Christian morality, to destroy the cultural fabric of our nation. So they're starting this thing up called the Satanic Revival. And this is going to take place on May 1st, which is, of course, a major satanic holiday. And it's going to be held in Baltimore, Maryland, at what is called the Mobtown Ballroom. And they've got a program, of course. Everybody has to have a program. And I'm just going to read you a few of the things. Now, they may change some of this, but it's just blasphemy upon blasphemy. So first of all, they're going to have a satanic opening ceremony and then a separate ceremony called a ceremony of infernal pride. And of course, if you're a Christian, you understand that pride is the chief of the seven deadly sins. So naturally, they want to celebrate pride. And I'm sure part of that is involving the whole gay thing, you know, gay pride and all that, because there is a backlash coming against the whole pride thing, if you've noticed it. I mean, gay flags are being torn down, gay murals are being taken off the pavement of streets, and praise God for that. People are realizing that this is a perverse, dangerous lifestyle, but these people, these satanic temple people, want to celebrate it. And more on that in a moment. So that's the first thing. Then there's going to be talks and study sessions on satanic activities. And there's also going to be testimonies. See, again, they're trying to mimic and mock the Christian revival meeting where people get up and say how Jesus Christ has changed their lives, how they've been delivered, you know, from drugs or whatever, you know, by the power of God. Well, they're going to do the same thing, or at least try to, mocking Christianity and having people give testimonies, if you can call it that, of how Satan changed their life. And mind you, these are people who don't supposedly even believe in the devil. The next thing, of course, is they're going to have a drag performance, which essentially is a bunch of pervert cross-dressers, you know, up there probably doing lewd and obnoxious things. But, you know, that's what they want to do. They're presenting themselves as an advocate of the, you know, the homosexual community and the trans community. Okay. The next thing, of course, is they're going to have performances by satanic rock bands, that kind of thing. Of course, in my opinion, almost all rock bands are satanic anyway. But these are ones that are overtly, they're deliberately promoting devil worship in their music and stuff. Now, to pile blasphemy upon blasphemy, the Satanic Temple has a requirement. If you want to buy a ticket, and of course they're selling tickets, if you want to buy a ticket to their ceremony, to this event, that they require that you sell your soul to the devil. Now, as someone who did that way back in 1977, I sold my soul to the devil. That is an abominable thing to do. And even if, you know, the trouble is, even if they're just doing this quote unquote in jest or as a kind of guerrilla theater thing, to, they know it's going to rile up Christians. It doesn't matter. The devil takes this very seriously. It's deadly serious. And, you know, I don't pretend to know the states of the souls of all of these people that might get into this thing, but frankly, probably most of them, the devil already owns their souls. Because contrary to popular belief.
That's good, Coach. So you're getting a gist of what's going on here. Okay, so this is not play day. This is not let's go in the sand and have fun. Okay, the people who are going to go in here are committed.
They're calling on the powers of darkness, aren't they, Craig? They're calling on the powers of darkness.
And can you pull that one thing up there about 40, alternate 40 I put up there? You can just go Wikipedia and go US 40 and scroll. Okay.
By the way, folks, that goes back to when we went to St. Louis at the Arch and prayed against what was going on in the Arch as the gateway to the West. Go ahead, Craig.
Go to US 40. Okay, Coach, does 40 go outside?
I can hit it with a rock. If I threw it twice, I could hit US 40.
All right, look, there you go, right? All right, go back to the thing, because this is what I want to point out here, okay? US 40, Main Street, okay, Main Street America. All right, are you starting to get the jives on this? And it was created in 1926. We're in 2026, Coach. The original terminal was San Francisco. Gee, I wonder, is San Francisco kind of tied to gay drag queens? Okay, are you seeing the spiritual highway that they're trying to do? They are trying to start a spark in Baltimore, a revival, and they're trying to get that spark from the east to the west. And Christians need to be in prayer about it. Let other Christians know about it. Get the people out here going to try to, you know, do what the Lord and the Holy Spirit tells them to do.
Amen. Amen. Again, folks, can you zoom into that picture? But Route 40, I can hit Route 40 with a rock. Route 40 and Route 70 run parallel to each other. Betty knows that. She's from Ohio. They run parallel. So when they built the I-70, they basically used the I-40 route, same route. But I-40 is the old one. So, Craig, what's this mean to us? What do we need to do?
Okay, well, first is Spencer's going to put it in the chat. All right, there's actually a number you can call to the people that own this venue. Okay, well, that's you're spitting in the wind. I'm telling you right now.
Don't worry, it ain't worth it.
Well, no, you can do it just if you want to, you know, but they're not going to change your mind.
Satanic revival, folks. Do you see that? Satanic revival. Remember, Satan copies everything the Lord does. Go ahead.
But maybe you could call the Baltimore mayor's office and say, you know, hey, do you – I'm glad you're all having Satan. Do you need some more problems? There's a lot of homelessness. Baltimore is one of the worst areas as far as reading, homelessness, depravity. They had the fires in Baltimore about 6 or 8 years ago. They had riots. They had to institute the National Guard. I mean, do we really want more evil in Baltimore? So people might know friends that live in Baltimore. People might know people that have businesses in Baltimore. Whatever. Okay. I'm a watchman on the wall. I'm telling you there's a problem. I'm doing my part, what I can here. I need the people that are going to watch this show that feel compelled to do something to do what the Lord says. That's all.
Man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man. See, folks, none of this stuff's happening by, let me say this. The devil is organized. Ray, are you still in here? Are you still in here, Ray?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Okay, Ray, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that to you.
That's fine.
I asked Ray in the pre-show. Some of you, of course, you weren't in here for the pre-show, because Ray's really active up in Wisconsin. And by the way, praise God for all of you who are out there doing stuff, man. Oh man, God bless you all. And Ray's been doing stuff against, you know, standing up against abortion, just doing what a normal Christian guy would do. Ray launched a little ministry up there, a church, got I don't know, 5-6 years or however long it's been now, Ray. And I asked Ray, as they go out faithfully and they preach the gospel out on the street, I said, hey, Ray, are other churches beginning to join you yet? And your answer was what, Ray?
No, absolutely not. They're just inside their four walls and having their cupcakes and lattes. And I can't get anybody to engage with me to do, just be outside. Like every June, we got the ones at the Winslow Family Park, the gays are back with the drag queens. And nobody wants to go out there and protest against it. So it's an upward battle, but this is also a very liberal town, which you find almost anywhere you go, you know?
Yeah, I do. Makes me sad. It makes me sad that I don't know why it is that we cannot see. Can you not see with your eyes how evil is flourishing almost unopposed? How evil has got a foothold in just about every area that you can see. And if that church is in your community, my community, everywhere, there might be some out there that will, there is no organized opposition to the devil. Now, that's why this thing that President Trump has called, I see as a great, go see the movie. I see as a great spiritual awakening that is being launched by the one in America who has the authority to do that. The President of the United States is declaring, come on in, Christians. Come on in, Christians. But will we answer the call? Will we do it? I'd love to hold an outing here at Sky High. Will the churches support it? Are the churches jealous of why his church is going to do it? Why we want to do it at our church? I don't know, man. I don't know. Come on in, Ray.
Yeah, real quick also. I get a lot of positive feedback. Most of the people that I'm trying to reach out, it's all thumbs up, and you know, they see the signs, Jesus saves, and all that, and they're all on board. But try to get them involved. I don't know how to do that. It's just not happening, you know.
Why do you think that is? Hey, folks, asking you, why do you think that is? If we're told to go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age, if we're supposed to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather approve it, if our job is to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, somebody help me out here. Why aren't we doing it? Why won't our churches gather together and do that? Could the church, I'm thinking of Hebron, Ohio, where I live, could the churches in Hebron, Ohio reinstitute prayer in the school? Well, sure they could. Sure they could. Could the churches in Hebron, Ohio put the Ten Commandments back into the schools? Well, sure they could. Why won't they do that? Why won't they do that? Fear? Pride? I don't know. Why wouldn't the churches come together and do it? So I find it interesting as this whole thing's going on with this rededication of America. I've been kind of waiting around and seeing is anybody here going to do anything with it? Anybody going to do anything? Downtown, some church are going to get together down. Well, they don't even like each other. They don't even like each other. And what's our call? What do we do? How do we step in? I'm rambling. Somebody come on in. Say, oh, me or oh, my. Punch me in the nose or pat me on the back. I don't care. Come on in. Doors open. Doors open. Come on in, Jeff.
Jim is the organizer for the No Kings protests. Happened in Fallon. And in the end, well, he used a Democrat narrative, white nationalists, like Christian, and this and that.
As if that's bad. As if being a white nationalist is bad. What made that bad?
Oh, yeah, it was a whole bunch there in the end there. And I told him, I'm not the enemy. You are the enemy.
Can you be a black nationalist? Can you be a German nationalist? What's wrong with white nationalism, folks? Why do we cower from these terms? Didn't mean to cut you off, Jeff. Go ahead, Mary Beth.
I said this before, but I spent 67-ish years being afraid. And now it's like, no, God has just, he's helped me over that hurdle. So,
amen. Hey, go, folks, it's a war. It's a war. Listen, courage is not the absence of fear. It's the conquering of fear. Of course you're going to be afraid. Dudes, you're going into the enemy's camp. Of course there's going to be opposition. Of course they're going to say things about you. Of course they're going to throw mud at you. What the hell do you expect? Go hide inside your big 3,000-seat auditorium? Get in there like you got all powers given. Oh, we got all power. Dance around, wave flags, power, power. And then go out and cower? And go out in your community and let them teach homosex to your children? No, let them teach homosex to your neighbor's children? Huh? Christians? Oh, well, we don't agree with their doctrine. God help us. RJ. We know the devil's doctrine, don't we? We know his doctrine. Go ahead. RJ. RJ took his hand down.
Oh, sorry about that. I thought I was off. Thought I had audio going. Well, the enemy has his agenda, and it's working through the legislature and a lot of food. There's churches that are infiltrated. So, look, just so happens that my church is doing a Friday night lock-in for prayer, and I was thinking, well, what difference will it really make if it's just us, a dozen or a half dozen people that show up? We've got to bring
inside, hiding inside the church, right?
Yeah. So exactly. So I'm going to invite. I'm just thinking. Okay, I'm going to invite some people to start, and then if they're going to stop at midnight, then we're going to go somewhere else with it. We may go downtown. where the gay bars are. We'll pray about it, and I'll see who's willing to go out.
Amen. Amen. Because the Bible does tell us to go ye into all the world, doesn't it, RJ? Go
yes,
ye.
Sir. Oh yeah.
And what's the message of the church? Come ye, right? My frustration level gets so high. I get so high. I'm so high today, I guess, because I watched that movie. And I'm not going to give away I don't want to give it away, but you know what they're fighting against? Republicanism. They didn't call that rhinos. They had rhinos even back then. Now, folks, let's think about this a second. I got 2 minutes here. Think how Christian those guys probably were, right? Puritan background, Christian guy. Yep. And so there they are in this meeting, and they're just freaking cowardly Christians. If they're Christians at all. And here we are, folks, 250 years later. We're there again. And what are they going to be writing about us at this time in history? Help me wrap it up, Craig. Go ahead.
Well, Spencer, pull up that last link, okay, about Minnesota. Can you put that up there? Coach, didn't you go to
the Great
Minnesota?
Awakening, RJ. The Great Awakening. Go see it. Go ahead. Go ahead, Craig.
And maybe Spencer can burn up that last thing there. Didn't you go to Minnesota?
Yeah.
Okay. They were there too in 2024. Satanic Temple. That's what they put underneath the state capitol dome. What happened in Minnesota? George Floyd, ICE riots, fraud. I mean, weren't you up there?
I was there, brother. I was there. Yep.
So when these guys come to your town, your state, they bring chaos.
They do. So, Craig, when was this? When was this thing set up here? I'm trying to see exactly what date it would have been.
Now, it's the 24th.
24. And look what the hell's happened in Minnesota since then, folks. Since then. as Satan stuck his he stuck his arrow in the ground, made claim to Minnesota. Look what happened. Time to wake up. See you tomorrow.